This morning's scripture reading is from Psalm 100, perhaps one of many of your favorite psalms and one that you have memorized at some point in your life. And for many of us, if we did memorize it, it was the King James Version. Okay. And I've chosen to use that text this morning. Ordinarily, a lot of the Bible, the newer texts help us to understand it better. This one, I love the poetry of the King James and just the way it reads. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, at this time of year, as we're reminded of Thanksgiving, we think of it more often. Forgive us for when we are not thankful, Lord. And may we be thankful for what we have and not worry about what we don't have. Help us, Lord, to, when we're frustrated at work, to be thankful for the job. When we're stuck in traffic, to be thankful for our transportation. And thank you, Father, for the many people we often don't think about too much, those who, in terms of thanking them, those who protect us, those who service us, such as those who pick up our trash every week, those who deliver our mail, those who serve us in restaurants. Oh, Lord, you are so gracious to us, so good, and you give us so many gifts. May we be thankful throughout the year. And, Lord, as we are thankful, may that message of your joy come through, and may it be strengthened this morning as you inspire our pastor with your message through him, that we may grow more and more in Jesus Christ our Lord. For we pray it in his name. Amen.
Thanks, Jim. Psalm 100. The week before Thanksgiving. It's almost like it was planned. And it was. By me and, I think, the Lord. But anyway, I think it would probably be safe to say that the whole world is looking for joy. They're looking for that one thing that will make them happy. And although some have a very distorted view of what joy and happiness is, I think every person on the planet is looking for that, again, that one thing to fill their heart and give them a joy in life and happiness. And I have to tell you that many, probably most, have found out without a doubt where it isn't. In fact, I found this list online, and I'm going to read it to you here. But joy is not in unbelief. And the example they give is Voltaire. He was a French Enlightenment writer, historian, philosopher, famous really for his wit, and famous also for his attacks on Christianity. But here is what he said concerning himself. He said, "I wish I'd never been born." That was something he said of himself. He obviously, unbelief is not where joy is found, because he didn't find it. Another place is joy is not in pleasure. An English poet, and politician Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote this: "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. The joy is not in money." Jay Gould, an American millionaire, he had plenty of that. When he was dying, he said this: "I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth." Joy is not in position and fame. Another British statesman, Lord Beaconsfield, enjoyed his share of both position and fame. And he wrote this: "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." And then, "Joy is not in military glory." Alexander the Great conquered the known world of his day. And having done so, he cried. He wept. And he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Never found joy. Never found joy. And these are all examples of people that are really, that's what they were in pursuit of, though, wasn't it? They were in pursuit of that one thing that they thought could make them happy, that they thought could give them joy, but they never actually found it. And interestingly enough, the answer was right in front of them the whole time. They simply didn't look in the right direction. Because true joy can only be found in one place, and that is in our Lord. Okay, our God himself, our Maker. And this joy is, we're going to see here this morning, is openly available to everyone and anyone by simply placing one's faith in the Lord. Then seeing the goodness of our God through that demonstration and His love for us, we can have joy really in all areas of our life. But this morning we're going to look at three. In fact, there are three main ones pointed out in Psalm 100. So our joy in the Lord is our subject this morning. Psalm 100 is our passage. As Jim said, this actually is, I think, my favorite psalm. But anyway, the first area in which we as God's children may have joy is in serving our Lord. We can have joy in serving our Lord. Look at verses 1 and 2. He says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." We can have joy in serving our Lord. And I think we can find at least three reasons in those first two verses. The first one is everyone's invited. Nobody is excluded. He says, all you lands, everybody is invited to have joy in the Lord. The whole world. And today, all may freely come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the first reason that we can have joy in serving our God, is nobody's excluded. Everybody is invited. But also, service in itself is a true source of joy. We are told to serve the Lord with gladness. This is how we worship Him. And I know some translations use the word worship rather than service. And this is because our joyful service to the Lord actually is a spiritual act of worship. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, listen to what Paul says there. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable service." Giving God our life, using our life to serve Him. In fact, some translations in Romans use the word spiritual act of worship. That's what it is. He goes on and he says, "And do not be conformed to this world." He says that in that Romans passage. Do not be conformed to this world. And the reason is, there's no joy there. We just looked at five examples of men who did not find joy in worldly pursuits. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Serving God in gladness is holy and acceptable to Him. Why can we have such joy in serving Him? Well, because God has granted us access into His very presence. Look at the end of verse 2. It says, come before His presence with singing. You see, our God, the God of the universe, is not a God that is far away. He's not a God that even wants us to be far away. He doesn't want to be separate from us. But rather, He's a God that loves us and truly wants us to be close. And as servants of God through Jesus Christ, we have access to His very presence, truly indwelling in us, even. As a young man, I remember having employers and bosses that I was afraid of. They took advantage of their position. They lorded their position over me. Any opportunity that they had to show me that who was the boss, they took it. And they would use differing tactics, whatever tactics they needed, to assure me that they are the boss and I am the expendable employee. And I got to tell you, I feared being around them. My stomach would get physically sick, depending upon the boss, but when they came in to work that morning, I didn't want to be around them, all right? Well, the only reason I tell you that is the only true God of the universe is above that. Not only above that positionally, but above that in character. There is no question that He is supreme. He has nothing to prove. He does not need us. But He grants us access, us who have believed in His Son, access to His very presence. And this verse tells us, get this, that we may approach our infinite, almighty God with joyful singing. It's a pleasure to be in God's presence. I'm sure you've noticed it's easiest to sing when we are joyful. In fact, I think that is often a natural thing that happens within us when we're joyful. We sing, we whistle while we work, okay? We're comfortable, we're at ease, and experiencing pleasure when we're in our God's presence. Well, the Almighty God of the universe has granted us that kind of comfort in His presence through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We have every reason to be joyful in serving our God. And chances are, if we do not find joy in serving Him, if we do not find joy in serving our God, we are either doing it for the wrong reasons, selfish reasons, or we are failing to recognize and remember just how good our God has been and is to us. Serving God should be a natural joy. Another area in which we can have joy in our Lord, not only through serving Him, because we have access to His presence, but also we can have joy in belonging to our Lord. Belonging to our Lord. Look at verse 3. It says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Why can we have joy in belonging to the Lord? Well, because He is God. He is the God, the only God. He is God and there is no other. We opened this sermon looking at a few various men that attempted to find joy in things of this earth. And the problem was, is they were trying to make things of this earth into their God. They were pursuing their own idea of God, and it can't be done successfully. The world is the creation, not the Creator. We can have joy in belonging to the Lord because He is God, but secondly, because He has made us. He has made us. It is the God of heaven alone that it is the Creator. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. And we might ask, why is this a joy? Well, He made us in His image. Genesis chapter 1 tells us we have been created in His image to be with Him, not away from Him. And it's only sin, really, that separates us from God. And ultimately why He gave His own Son, to remedy that problem so that we can be close to Him again. Jesus Christ took our sin upon Himself so that we could trust in His work and be with God forever, to have that eternal relationship. He created us for that very purpose, to be with Him, because we are His people. He is our God, and we are His people. The sheep of His pasture, verse 3 says. And that one line, the sheep of His pasture, carries such a vivid picture of God's care for us, His people. You see, the shepherd not only leads his sheep, but he feeds them. He watches out for their safety. He truly cares for them. He loves them. When they're in danger, he guards, protects, and keeps control over the situation. And the sheep, all they have to do is trust him. Just trust him. Robert Louis Stevenson tells the story of a storm that caught a vessel off the rocky coast and was threatening to drive it and its passengers to destruction. In the midst of the terror, one daring passenger, contrary to orders, made the dangerous passage to the pilot house, and he saw the steerman at his post, holding the wheel unwaveringly, inch by inch, turning the ship slowly back out to sea. Well, the pilot saw this passenger, and he smiled at him. Well, the passenger went back down, and he gave a cheer. He said, "I have seen the face of the pilot." And he smiled. All is well. All is well. This is the kind of shepherd or pilot that we have. He loves us. He takes joy in caring for us. And therefore, we in turn can have joy in belonging to him. I don't know how many of you here have seen the animated Disney movie Toy Story. All right. But in the movie, toys come to life when people aren't watching. And in the course of the movie, there is a boy that loves his toys, Andy, and there is another boy who severely mistreats his toys. Sid is his name. But the whole premise of the movie rests in the fact that there is great joy in belonging to someone who loves us. There is great joy in that. Well, our God, our Maker, He loves us. And we can have joy in belonging to Him. In John 15:13, Jesus said this, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And he said that to his disciples, really even to us, in anticipation of him laying his life down to pay for our sins, so that through faith in Christ, we can have a restored relationship with our God. So we may have joy in serving God because he has granted us access to his presence. we can have joy in belonging to Him because He has made us and loves us. But thirdly and lastly this morning, we can have joy in thanking our Lord. We can have joy in thanking our Lord. Look at verses 4 and 5 now. It says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Once again, what we see here that we can come into His presence, and that really alone, all by itself, is worthy of thanks and praise. He has saved us from condemnation, and in this life He is the giver of all that is good. In fact, if anything good happens, it's from the Lord. And if anything bad happens, know that it is because sin is in the world. It has cursed it. But here's the point I want to make in this, in thanking our Lord. Even in the bad things, the good, merciful, and true God that we belong to and that we serve can even work those bad things for our best. Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch watchmaker and Christian who, along with her father and other family members, helped many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust. But she wrote this. She says, "Often I have heard people say how good God is. We pray that it would not rain for our church picnic, and look at the lovely weather." Yes, she says, God is good when He sends good weather. But God is also good when He allowed my sister Betsy to starve to death before my eyes in a German concentration camp. She says, "I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged there. Everything around us was dark. There was darkness in my heart. And I remember telling Betsy that I thought God had forgotten us. 'No, Carrie,' said Betsy, 'He has not forgotten us. Remember His word. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him.'" Corrie concludes, she says, "There is an ocean of God's love available. There is plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances." That is something that we can be thankful for. We can thank God and bless His name for His goodness to us. And in turn, in fact, Ron talked about this when he introduced the one song about God shining upon us, the love of Christ shining upon us, and then us shining that reflecting that light to the world. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark 9:41. "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." We can be thankful. We can be thankful and bless His name for His goodness to us, and then in turn, that reflected through us to those around us. We can thank God and bless His name for His mercy toward us. Because of God's love for us, He saved us from the penalty that we rightly deserve. We are sinners before a perfect God who demands perfection. We are sinners in weak flesh, and He chose to declare us holy and perfect through faith in His Son. That's mercy. That is mercy. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We can be thankful and bless His name for His goodness toward us. We can be thankful and bless His name for His mercy toward us. And we can thank God and bless His name for His truth. the truth of His Word, the faithfulness of it, His, in turn, faithfulness in our life. Regardless of how weak and faithless we may be, God is faithful and will never forget us. Even in the toughest, darkest times of our life, God is with us and will always be. He has given us His Word as a source of comfort. We can turn to it. John 17:17, Jesus' prayer for His disciples, His prayer for us. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth. In Psalm 119:160, it says, the entirety of Your Word is truth, and every one of Your righteous judgments endures forever. When we think about what we really deserve from God, which is nothing at best, and in reality, punishment. When we think about what we really deserve from God as compared to what He gives us, I believe that the only proper response is joy. We can have joy in thanking Him for His goodness, His mercy, and His truth. Well, Psalm 100 is a short psalm, but it does give us several areas in which we can have true joy. Joy in our Lord. We can have joy in serving Him because He has granted us access into His presence. We can have joy in belonging to Him because He has made us, and through Jesus Christ, we are His sheep. And we can have joy in thanking God because of His goodness, His mercy, and His truth. There was a third century man who was anticipating death. And he penned these last words to a friend. And what I want you to notice, I think, here more than anything else, is the contrast between what he writes and what those other men wrote at the beginning of the message this morning. But he writes this, and he's writing this to a friend. He says, it is a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their soul. They have overcome the world. These people, he says, are the Christians, and I am one of them. Can we say this of ourselves? I pray that all of us here today know the joy of receiving and having Christ as our personal Savior from sin's debt. And if you have not made that decision, it really is, that's all it is a decision. God gave His own Son to die for your sins, for my sins. And John 3:16 says, whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loved the world. So it's through faith. Will you trust in Him or not? Yes or no? Along with that, I also want to, for those of us that have placed our faith in Christ already, my prayer is that we are among the joyful, and that we serve Him with joy. We take pleasure and joy in belonging to Him, and that through those two items, as a result of those two items, that we would thank Him every single morning we wake up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank You for Psalm 100. We thank You for the psalmist and these words that You inspired him to pen that give us such a perspective of who You are and who we are before You. And Lord, as a result of what we read here, the only thing that we can do is thank you, praise you. Thank you for the joy that you have placed in our lives as a result of the gift of your Son. Thank you for the joy that you continue in our lives as a result of serving you, belonging to you, and trusting you. We thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I won't be able to watch Toy Story with my kids without seeing it in a new light. But it is a very appropriate analogy, because the world sees God and us as his creation, as some people will see him as just this person who's playing with his little toys. But for us who know God, we know that we have that close relationship with him. And we are not just his little playthings, but we are his friends, and he is our friend. And it's such an encouragement that we can have him as a friend in our daily lives. And this last song is a wonderful reminder of that, that he walks with us each and every single day as our personal friend, to help us through anything that we're going through in this world. So if you'll please stand and close with us this morning of Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends make fail me, foes assail me, he, my Savior, makes me whole. Alleluia, what a Savior, Alleluia, what a friend, saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end. Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while the billows o'er me roll.